Well, it's good to be here tonight, and I am pleased to be with my friend, Brother Angel, and he has been a friend to me for these many years, and he's a friend of my family as well. And the Bible says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And it's good to have worthwhile friends. And sometimes that's not the person that just happens to show up. It's someone you look at and decide they have good character and you choose to be friends with them. I am aggravated. I'm aggravated. I every once in a while I see bumper stickers that aggravate me. And I've been one up. There was a bumper sticker that used to aggravate me. I would see it infrequently, and every time I saw it, it would make the veins in my head rupture and aneurysms, and I'd fall over and wreck my car. It was very terrible. But I've seen this one. It says, prosperity is my birthright. That's nonsense. This world owes you nothing. No one owes you anything. And you will get what God's grace gives you, but most of what God's grace is going to give you will come from you working your tail off. And the harder you work, the better you'll eat. So work hard. I know it's the luckier you'll get, but we don't believe in luck. So the harder you work, the better you eat. So that one used to just knock me for a loop when I saw it, living in the entitlement society. But there's a new one. And I told Brother Angel this just a few minutes ago. I saw it, and it just aggravated me to no end. The little clip fell off. Hang on here. Let's see. That's it. No, the clip is still right here, but the mic is not. I'm going to stick this in this pocket here. So the new one that gets me is the, it says, pets are family. You wouldn't chain grandma up in the backyard. Well, number one, you don't know my grandma. It's just insanity. But, you know, I did see a bumper sticker, if the spank your children, they'll become Democrats. I've seen some other ones that I like, but I've seen a few I don't. I am glad to be away from Illinois because I'm fearful every day that they're going to take Lincoln off the license plate and put Obama on there. I think I would get a personalized tag for the spotted owl before I do that. But anyway, I have 8 jokes. We can do them all the night and just give an invitation, or we can do them 2 at a time. We'll preach 4 times. Many of you have heard them. I don't care. I'm too old to learn anything new. And so how many have heard all 8 jokes? Heard all 8 of them? All right. Oh, well, that's good. And okay, so no blurting out punchlines. I think the Holy Spirit's leading me to do 2 tonight and 2 in the morning. I have a joke I have told ever since I've been in youth work, and many of you have heard this one before. But again, I tell you, that was inappropriate, by the way, me mocking the guy that I was going to say amen, but then he was so deep. Yes, we're from Parkview Baptist Church. And it didn't come out amen, it came out amen. And I thought about when I read the scripture tonight, I was going to try that. All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of. I thoroughly enjoyed the group singing tonight, and I am a little prejudicial toward one group, but they didn't give me a scorecard, so I can't help, but I can pray, and I have nothing to do with the judging. So however it turns out, it was kind of fun to see the mother and son dynamic tonight. You know, Mick was leading the choir from the church here, the school here, and then Mrs. Hall from Northwest, and I could imagine them. I was imagining them on a basketball court, and there were elbows flying and things like that, and I could imagine Mrs. Hall saying, you will respect your mother. And I imagining Brother Hall just eating popcorn and watch it all go on. Yeah, that's just great. Go get him, hon, less for me. All right, there we go. All right, here we go. There's 2 guys that are walking through the woods, and they happen upon a hole that's deep and it's dark, and they cannot see the bottom. Wow. So they're trying to figure out how deep it is, and since they don't have a 100-foot tape measure, they decide we're going to drop something in and listen for it to hit the bottom. So they grabbed a small stone, leaned over the edge, and dropped it. Nothing. Wow. That's deep. So they went, we got to get something larger. And so they grabbed a larger stone and again, over the same hole, dropped it. Nothing. There's always one of those in every crowd. If you would just take them out and beat them mercilessly and send me a bill for the dry cleaning, I'll pay it gladly. And so they decided, well, we got to find something so big that will resonate with such force that when it hits the bottom, we'll hear it. And so they began to scavenge around the woods and looking for this and that. And finally, they found a railroad tie, a cross tie, 8, 10 feet long, 10 inches wide, soaked in creosote, big hunk of rough cut timber. Man, that'll do the job. So they got on either end of it and struggled with it to the edge of the hole, about 125 pounds, and they back and forth a couple of times, and on three, nothing. My goodness, that hole is deep. Can you believe how deep that? And right before he said, can you believe how deep that? A goat comes running by and dives headlong into the hole. Nyang! They're kind of taking it all in when a farmer walks up wearing overalls. That's what they call them down in Georgia, overalls. And I'm not married to my cousin. So I'd clear the air on that. At least not my first cousin. He walks up and says, fellas, I don't mean to bother you, but I'm looking all over these woods for my goat, and I can't find it. Have you seen my goat? The one guy says, look, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but your goat just, yeah, in that hole right there. Farmer said, I don't think that was my goat. He was chained to a cross tie. You might as well laugh. They don't get any better. There's a fellow ducking down the street, and he walks by a cafe, and there's a sign in the window that says, Chili Special. Oh, my goodness. Something inside of him just leapt, almost like the baby John the Baptist leaping in the womb when Mary came in the room there with the baby Jesus in tow. And it was just a moment of excitement. He walked in, seated himself, and the little waitress came up, and he hardly could wait for her to get the words, what do you have, sir? He goes, I want the chili special. She kind of lowered her head and said, sorry, sir, that's been a very popular seller, and we don't have any chili left. And she said, I'll give you a minute maybe to find out something else. Well, he was crushed, if you can imagine. No chili at all. When he noticed the guy next to him had a full piping hot bowl of chili, he could still see the steam coming off of it over there. Full bowl of chili over there. He says, sir, this is unusual. You can turn me down if you want to. He said, but I will give you a $20 bill for that bowl of chili right there. $20. Chili's $3.99. Chili special, $3.99. $20! Just slide it over. The guy said, slid it over. The man pulled out a nice crisp Jefferson, slid it across the table. And man, he dove into the chili. How many of you put ketchup in chili? I'm the only idiot that does that. I love ketchup and cheese in chili. And chips, corn chips, like the Tostitos chips. I like that. Now that we got that settled. Man, he's just devouring it and devouring it. Oh, man, it's steaming hot. It's just hitting him in the face. Oh, and he gets about two-thirds of the way through the bowl, and there's a dead mouse in the bottom of the bowl. And it's too much for him, Brother Angel. He throws up everything he just ate back into the bowl. He's wiping his mouth. He's trying to swash around some water to get the taste out of his mouth. The guy next to him leans over and said, yep, that's about how far I got. Brother Angel's a very wise pastor because he takes up the offering before I speak. That's wisdom. He knew better. Deuteronomy chapter 15 in your Bibles, please. Deuteronomy chapter 15. It's good to be here. I have sat on that side so many times. It just right over in this section over here, and I would come up, maybe say a word about the youth conference at Northwest year by year. I used to come on Thursday night because everybody leaves our church on Wednesday night to be here. And usually me and Brother Gomez just throw a football back and forth across the stage because all the church members are down here. But I'm usually here on a Thursday night, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I believe the last time I was here, let me see, where'd you go? Hey, the Undertaker, stand up. Come on. Does Brother Scott look like an Undertaker, or am I just smoking crack? Look at that, man. It's like that dude could embalm me any day. I believe you preached last time I was here, did a great job. And, man, they stuck you way in the back now. You like band front. And I was at the hotel, I mean, thoroughly enjoying myself, just having a good time this afternoon when Pastor Doug Castle from Linton, Indiana drove in. And I'll just warn you this. Everybody make sure your valuables are locked up. Keep your wallet in your front pocket. He's a good man, but temptation sometimes can be a bit much for him. But it's good to have him here. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 12. And I'll see what life is like on this side of the desk. Stand and join me, and we'll get this show on the road. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 12. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we've heard tonight. The representations on the platform of so much hard work. And thank you for choir directors and staff members who work tirelessly with these young people, pouring into them the tools that will help them be more effective serving the Lord Jesus. And I pray that no young person in this room would miss what's going on around them. We are not training them, Lord, just to be good citizens. We are not training them, Lord, just to fit in well in society. We are training them to be servants of God in years to come. If fundamental Christianity is to survive, someone in this room, some young person in this room, has to take up the mantle and decide, I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. And Lord, I pray that more would make that decision this week. Would you speak to hearts? Spirit of God, I invite you to fill my heart and mind with only that which I should say and forbade all that I should not. Fill this place. Bless these listeners. Lord, I pray that you would help them as they compete. It is important. They've worked hard. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our sessions together in this chapel or in this church auditorium. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are 2,190 tick marks on the wall. How many have ever watched The Great Escape? The Great Escape. Oh, man, I just lost his name. Who's the guy that's always in the cooler? Steve McQueen, that's right. He always takes his baseball glove in there. If you look, when he gets out of the cooler, Brother Ken, there are tick marks on the wall. He's trying to figure out how many days he's been in the cooler, they called it. In the cooler, he would always go back and there were tick marks on the wall. Well, if you can imagine this scene, there are 2,190 tick marks carved into a wall. Or maybe 2,190 X's on 6 different calendars. 6 years is a long time to be a slave. You do what you're told, when you are told, and you do it with a good attitude. You have very little to say in any decision. After all, who cares what a slave thinks? Tomorrow, however, is a different day. According to Jewish law, you have to be set free after 6 years of servitude. You will be free at last, free to do as you please, no more orders, no more curfews, no more accountability. Who in their right mind wouldn't look forward to day 2,191? I think that fundamental Christianity is full of slaves just waiting to be free. Most teenagers are waiting for the day when they can watch what they like, listen to what they like, hang out with whomever they like, and whenever they like, and dress in whatever they like. They feel trapped by their parents, the church, and the Christian school. They have a day circled on a calendar somewhere, a day when they will be free of the slavery that has been holding them back. Free to be their own person. It's not that they don't appreciate their parents or their pastor. It's just time to move on. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to be free to do what they feel is best? You can always tell a slave by the way he answers questions. He always answers, "I can't." He would like to behave differently, but he can't. He is being controlled by someone else, at least for now. And young person, the difference between you being a Christian long term and you being just another one of the young people that walks across the stage, takes a diploma, only to disappear out the back door and become a terrible testimony for Jesus Christ, is the difference between the word can't and won't. Well, how come you dress like that? How come you don't dress like we do? Well, I can't. Well, how come you don't go to the movies with us? Well, I can't. Well, how come you don't listen to music we listen to? I can't. You know what that implies? That means I'd like to, but I'm being restrained. I'm a slave to my parents. I'm a slave to this cotton-picking Christian school. Listen, for 6 years, from the time you were 12 to the time you were 18, you are trapped. But there's coming a day, isn't there? There's coming a day when you and Frank Sinatra are going to do it your way. I did it my way, and he died and he went to hell his way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Can't means I'm restrained. Can't means I'd love to, but I'm so trapped in this situation. The people of the Christian school, they just don't have a clue. Your parents, they mean well and they love me and everything, but they just don't understand. You'd be surprised how much your mom and dad understand. You know, there's a little proverb about apples and trees. It's a lot more true than you want to admit, and it's a lot more true than your parents want to admit from time to time. In fact, Brother Angel, there is no one that understands you better than your parents do. Because every time they look at you, it's like looking in a mirror.
That's true.
For good and for ill. But God give us a young person, Brother Hall, that doesn't say, "I can't," but that says, "I won't." This is what I believe. These are my standards. These are my convictions. This is the life that I have chosen. I'm not some sort of conscript held against my will. I'm a willing servant of God. I love Jesus, and I want to spend my life. Where is the young person that looking forward to day 2191? Not because it's the day that he'll be free from it all, but it'll be the first day he's free to serve God because he's chosen to. I'm looking forward to the day when I walk across a stage and I move out of the house so that I can serve God because I want to, because it's what's in my heart. It's not because of some restraint placed on me, but my heart beats for Jesus Christ. My heart longs to serve Him with all that I have. God, give me a young person that says, "I won't," because this is the manner of life that I have chosen. Big difference between "I can't" and "I won't." There are, however, other servants. Servants who are not longing to be free. They are longing and looking forward to day 2190 because that is the day they get to choose to be a servant. They will be able to serve out of love. Not obligation. They will choose to be servant forever. Our movement is dying, Brother Angel, because we got other plans. Oh, I'm surrendered. Bless God. I'm surrendered to do whatever God wants me to do. But since He hasn't written that across the sky, I happen to have plans of my own. Just in case. I mean, I'll do, don't get me wrong, whatever the Lord wants, as long as He submits it to me in triplicate, properly notarized, and filed with the county. Whatever the Lord wants, He gets. He's got me. But just in case He doesn't, I've always wanted to be. You see, God's not going to reveal His plan to you for your life as long as you've got a plan for your life. Surrender is not just some feeling in your chest. Well, I'm surrendered to Jesus. Whatever He wants, He gets. That's not a feeling in your chest. That's shoe leather Christianity. That's you saying, God, I've got no plan but Your plan, and I'm not going to make a move until... You know, we say many things about waiting on the Lord. We do. And I've heard preachers say that waiting on the Lord is like being a waiter and you serve, and I agree with that. But folks, sometimes waiting on the Lord is just waiting on the Lord. It's just sitting on your hands and waiting for God to show you what to do. Can I tell you something? God gave you the biggest decisions to make when you were least equipped to make them. Oh no, I'm really smart. Look, just write it all down now, because in a few years, you're going to have to read that book. Oh man, what did I say a few years ago? I remember when I had the answers. What did I say? Because I don't have any of that. You get a mortgage, you get a family, you get kids. All of a sudden, you're going to find your parents' phone number real quick. Dad! What is FICA? And why is he stealing my money? Do we know this man? Mom, I plugged the hole on the front of the baby, and it cries still. Well, I do. Don't let your husband deal with it. What we're going to do is we're going to put him in a laundry basket and put some duct tape on the top so he can't get out. We're going to put it on top of the washer and put it on the spin cycle, and we're going to shake that baby to sleep. That didn't work. We put the laundry basket in the bed of my truck. We're driving around and some bumps and baby's going to sleep. Bucks fan, blow it on the baby, keep it cool. Maybe give it a candy bar, make it happy. It's amazing. I promise you, it's amazing how much smarter your parents get. We cannot stand against the devil with an army of conscripts. A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? God didn't force you to get saved, and He won't force you to serve Him. Now, if you don't, He'll take you to the woodshed. But Brother Angel, I've met a lot of people that have been to the woodshed and gone right back out in the same mess they were in before. You ought to thank God for the woodshed. That means God is still interested in changing your direction. There's a lot of people that wish they could get back to the woodshed again because God hadn't talked to them in an awful long time. Brother Hall, we will not win with an army of conscripts. We've learned that as a country, haven't we? After the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, The recruiting centers across the United States for every branch of the armed forces were overrun with people who just wanted to serve. They called them the greatest generation. Now, don't get me wrong. There were conscripts in World War II, but the majority of our army in World War II was a volunteer army. It was an army that believed in the cause, that wanted to make a difference. And we will not win it. The reason we're losing this thing is because we are an army of generals trying to drag their troops into battle. Oh, come on, get out of bed. Can I tell you something? Come on and get out of bed. It's not going to beat the devil and his forces. Come on, do your homework. It's not going to win the battle for Jesus. Come on, don't listen to that junky music. It's not going to get it done. We need a group of people committed to the cause that is the cause of Jesus Christ who say, this is not your cause. This is not fundamentalism's cause. This is my cause. I serve because I want to serve. I serve. Now, our text teaches us a formula to move our hearts from apathy to heartfelt service to Jesus Christ. It's found in verse 16, and we'll look at that. I think we'll get through a couple of them tonight, and we'll get one more tomorrow. Verse number 16, look at the last. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because. Now here are the reasons why someone chooses to become a servant. Because he loveth thee and thine house. And look at this last line. Because he is well with thee. What is well a form of? The word what? Good. Okay? We would say it this. He's right with his master. If you were using in modern vernacular, man, it's all good. It's all good in the hood. My sister by the other mister. My brother by the other mother. Amen. It's all good. We used to have these devices attached to TVs called rabbit ears. There was a time when if you wanted to shift from one program to the next, you actually had to rise out of your seat, approach the box, bend over, do obeisance to it, and turn its dial. In the case of mine, the dial never did work right. We had to put vice grips on it to hold it in between channels. A little cantilevering force would hold it there. But even at that, sometimes, the signals would come through the airway. I'm not talking about Wi-Fi. Okay? There was nothing fi about this. The signal would come through the air, and we would have rabbit ears on there. And sometimes the rabbit ears themselves, these antennas weren't enough. You had to attach Coke cans and aluminum foil. And inevitably, in every family, there was one sap person whose job it was to get it adjusted while somebody in front of it, the older brother, got to look and decide was the picture. And it would say, no, a little bit right. No, that's getting better. And you would hold it. Like this, and sometimes you had to hold your body a certain way. Somehow the waves were impacting your body, the fillings in your mouth, the eyelets or the grommets on your shoes. Somehow it was going through everything. And you had to swing a leg out over here and an arm out over here and turn your watch to the left and make sure that Venus and Mars were aligned and Orion's belt was pointing. It was crazy. But you would finally get in a position where it was all lined up and the signal was clear. And then you'd have to stay there. You'd try to let it go. You would. But then you'd let go and the signal would go. You're like, oh! And then you would try to hold it and stretch out across and see just the side. You know, what a sea of Hoss and Little Joe get through. It's looking bad. I mean, Dan Blocker's big, but is he big enough? Nothing worse than hearing a program you can't see, Brother Angel. I am convinced that many of us need to do some major moving in our life, contorting, if you will, because the reception between heaven and us is just not good. It's not right. I'll prove it to you. When's the last time you prayed and you felt like the Lord spoke to you? When's the last time you picked that Bible up and read it? I hope that you do. I hope you do because of character. But folks, it can be more than that. When's the last time God... Well, I didn't hear an audible voice. Listen, if God had a voice, it would probably sound something like that. Hey! Charlton Heston would come down, I've seen the face of God. His teeth would stick out like that. Awesome! Don't you wonder what that's like? Help me with something here. Don't you? Your preacher gets up and says, the Lord spoke to me. Does he ever speak to you? People say, I know this is the will of God. He revealed it to me. I know. Do you know that? Has God ever spoken to you? You say, well, there's a message and I was convicted. That's fine. I'm talking with you alone in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Lord. Have you ever been in that secret place where it was you and God and you knew you were alone? Well, you're preaching feeling, and the Christian life is about fact and character. Can I tell you something? God can impact you on every level. And I think you ought to do right whether you feel it or not, but God deliver us from cold, dead, dried up Christianity where we go through the motion and the Spirit of God is not within 10 miles of what we're doing. And I'm not preaching Pentecostal doctrine. Listen, the Baptists were shouting a long time before the Pentecostals even knew what they were. When's the last time it burned? When's the last time you felt connected to heaven? When's the, you know why we're so easy to leave all of it behind? Because we're not connected. There is no connection. Yes, there are friendships and we like our teachers. But listen, as far as you having a relationship with Jesus Christ, it ended at salvation. Brother Angel, we need to get right with God. We need to get back to where we hear His voice again. We get back to where when we get in a tough spot, we know He's there with us. Can't tell you how many times that I've just bowed my head. I didn't even know what to pray. How many times I looked at the circumstance and said, God, I don't know what's best here. I mean, the doctors are saying this and this is what we would like, but we don't know what's best. And God, it doesn't look good. And God, it hurts. Sometimes the words don't even come to mind. Sometimes you're just a blank sheet, Brother Angel. You're just sitting down there and your emotions are so wrung out, you can't feel anything anymore. But He is there. I'm talking when no one else is around, when I can't explain it to someone else. People call and say, how are you doing? And I say, fine, pray for us. But in my heart, I know it's not fine. He is there. I'm not alone in this thing. I can't turn back. Because I have a connection. I've got a relationship. Was there a time in your life when you're closer to God than you are now? Hey, look at me up here. Is there a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are now? Do you know what that means? You're backslidden. That's what it means. Well, I remember this time we came home from camp. What happened? You felt something different. There was a spring in your step. Now listen, you've got to have the character to get over the hump. I understand that. And God sends trials our way to see if we're sincere. But you can have that again. And it doesn't have to be just a camp and youth conference and convention. You can have that walk with God all the time. You know why that servant wanted to stay? Because it's good here. You know why you'll stay in your prayer closet? Because it's good here. You know why you'll stay in that book, Brother McIntyre? Because it's good here. There have been times I come to the book and I said, God, I need something. He'll have a little something for me. It's not for my pulpit, Brother Angel. It's not for my counseling. It's not for anybody else but me. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Is it right between you and God? Well, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I'm not asking you to explain yourself to me. That makes no difference at all. And we have learned the lingo in this thing. You all know exactly what to say. But in your heart of hearts, are you right with God? When's the last time you were right with God? When's the last time you were so right with God you knew it? You know, the Bible says that we're not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You ask a person, you go soul winning, they say yes. You ask a person, you read the Bible, they say yes. You ask a person, you sing in church, they say yes. You ask a person, are you faithful to the house of God, they say yes. You ask a person, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they go, I don't know. I don't know. I guess so. Why would God command you to do something you couldn't know that you were doing? Why don't you get connected with heaven again? Even if it means you got to move some stuff out. Even if it means you got to move some. Even if it means you got to look kind of funny to the rest of the crowd. Who cares? Take the world, but give me Jesus. I'll tell you why this woman was going to be a servant forever. That's the title of the sermon, by the way. Sermon titling person, A Servant Forever. Amen. You got to be right with the Master, and we're done with this right here. Look at verse number 16. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house. Thine house. We must love the master's house. Do you love your church? What's your job at the church?
Well, I mean, I'm 16. I don't have a job at the church.
Oh, I get it. When you have to be 18 or 19 before you can sweep out a bus. And only people who are getting paid can clean bathrooms and things like that. And it's not possible for you to come and straighten chairs somewhere or clean up a Sunday school room. It's not possible for you to come and help out on the grounds and push a lawnmower or work a week. That's not possible because you have to be 18. I mean, there are waivers that we have to sign. Insurance to permit young people to do such things. I mean, no power tools. And I'm in agreement with that. Maybe young people shouldn't have power tools. But you know what? A broom's not a power tool. A broom. What's a broom? A broom. Somebody help me out. Is that in the Urban Dictionary? A broom? Yo, dog, she had a broom where her hair's supposed to be. A broom. A broom. A broom. A mop. A mop. Boy, there are a lot of flat. I'm looking in this room. There's a lot of flat surface in here that need to be dusted. What's your job at the church? What do you do? Hey, when's the last time that one of you young men, I'm talking about one of you strong young men, play on the basketball team, they play on the football team. Hopefully you don't play on a soccer team. I looked up soccer in the French English dictionary, and it said gay. You know, ever since the human race developed opposable thumbs 44 billion years ago, I'm for a sport you can dive on a loose ball. All right. Anyway. Disease, leprosy, ball kicking it around. Jumping around like a bunch of mullet. What's your job at the church? Hey, I'm sorry, you guys on the basketball team, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go up to your pastor and say, preach, what do you need help doing around? Now make sure he's seated when you tell him that. Preacher might want to sit down first. He's like, oh no, what? I just want to help. Oh, thank God I was seated. What can I do? Do you know that people who serve as adults, do you know where they come from? There's not a factory. There are people who served as young people. You see, you're going to be the rest of your life that person you're becoming right now. There's not a magic. Well, when I'm 18, you're stupid. It won't change. Not you personally are stupid. Although, looking at you, I'm just kidding. That's wrong. I take it all back. I'm sorry. What, you say? Well, no, looking at you. Oh, yeah. I need to go look at another group. This is hurt. You know where stingy adults come from? You know adults that don't give in the church? You know where they come from? Teenagers that won't give in the church. You're going to be the same reprobate when you're 18 you were when you're 16 unless you change something right now. Hey, look up here. Look, where's Ron Garris when I need him? Look at me and my God-given eyeball. What's your job at the church? I heart my church. Look, I hope you have that marble sticker on there. What's your job at the church? If you love your church, prove it. I know how you can prove it, Brother Walker. They're going to love this one. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want to I heart the church? Throw some money in the offering plate. Next time a missionary kid comes to town, rather than thinking about that $20 bill in your back pocket, what you're going to do with it, why don't you think about that kid being drugged around the country like a little gypsy and say, hey, kid, take this and get a burger, or take this and get something down at the mall. You can give as a young person. Well, I'm going to do that giving stuff later. No, you won't. Can I tell you something? I hope you're all tithing. That's kindergarten stuff right there. You understand? You get $10, God gets $1. I knew you'd know. I knew you. You're smart. Smart. My goodness, smart. Squeaky voice, but smart.
$10. How much does God get?
$10.
$1,000. $100. Good job. Good job. God says that you're a robber if you take that, Brother Andrew. He said, wherein have you robbed me? And he says, in tithes. That's not all he says. Well, I tithe. Well, where's your offering? Well, I'm a kid. I mean, how much money do we waste? Help me now. How much of what you earn ends up in Big Gulps and Twix bars? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Praise God for Big Gulps and Twix bars. Hey, man. I'm old and fat. I drink Diet Coke now. Something's funny about having a Twix bar and a Diet Coke. Everybody's like, yeah, right, you're serious. Lack of calories, calories, plus and a minus, balance each other out. Caloric neutral. You love your church? Let me ask you this. Can your youth pastor count on you? Do you know what the youth pastors and the Christian school administration or school administrators in this room are looking for? They're looking for a young man to stand up and lead. In fact, listen to me. They're dying for it. You look at independent fundamental Baptist churches all over the place. You know what you have? You have women in leadership positions. You know why? Because the men are sorry. You know why the men are sorry? Because they were sorry when they were your age and nothing's changed. We are becoming a woman-led... Well, I don't think we ought to have woman preachers. I don't think we ought to either. But I think men ought to stand up and count for something. You know what I've learned? And I'm not an expert by any means on this, but I've been at this a little while. I've learned, typically, if the young men will do right, the young ladies will follow. Occasionally there's a hag, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. And if you got Rosie O'Donnell in your youth department, that's just how it goes. They should have shot her. I'm talking one of the snipers in the tower. When she sang the national anthem, as soon as she said, oh, say, can you, bam! Maybe execution is strong, but a kneecap would have been a good thing. And her screaming would have sounded better than her rendition of the national anthem. Hey, young man, do you love your church? Do you love... Hey, it's a funny thing. I'll find out how much you love your church when your job says you need to work on a Wednesday night. What's minimum wage? I'm in the ministry. I don't even know what minimum wage is, right? I know we earn it, but I don't know how much it is. And all the assistant pastors said, amen! Actually, all the assistant pastors' wives said, amen! What's minimum wage? $7.25? Is Jesus worth $7.25? No, because you understand. I have to have a job because I need to get a car. What do you need a car for? To get to the job. Brother Reardon, am I wrong? I wonder how many Christian young people sell Jesus out for a job. I can't go to the youth activity because I got a job. I'm for you working. But I think the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're going to work the rest of your cotton-picking life. Why don't you learn to serve Jesus when you're young? Do you love your church? Hey, you know what he said? He said, I want to be a servant forever because I love your house. God, give us a young person in this room tonight who'd say, you know what? I'm going to love my church, and I'm going to get right with God. Let me ask you this. How much longer are you going to get nibbling around the edges of this thing? How much longer is being an okay Christian going to be okay with you? Because the reason you are you the way that you are is because that's what you're happy with. No, I'm not happy. I wish I was a better Christian. Then do something about it. Change your habits of life. Change your friends. Change your music. Get yourself back into a position where the reception with the Holy of Holies is back online. God give us a young person that says, I'll pay any cost. I'll give up anything that you touch, God, but I just want to be plugged in again. Where's a young man that it burns in your heart? You're sick of the mamby-pamby approach to Christianity. You're sick of your own apathy. You're sick of your own laziness. Do you think it's going to change one day, or do you need to make a change tonight? I want to be a servant for life. We will not win this fight with people who are being drug into the Lord's service. But we will charge the gates of hell with young people who say, this is my fight. Whose side are you on? There's no middle ground. Jesus said a man cannot serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or cleave to the one and despise. You can't do it both ways. Who would say tonight, I'm all in? Who would say tonight, this church is my church. This fight is my fight. This is my life. No more can't. No more I despise this way of living. I want to be a genuine Christian. Maybe you've never heard this level of Christianity before, but the reason there is fundamental Baptist Christianity is because there's a group of young people who swore off their dreams, who swore off their plans to make more money and have all the things, and said, I will serve Jesus only. Do you know who they are? They're your pastors. Well, it's okay for him to have dreams and swear. You know, that's okay for him. If we're going to have this thing next generation, somebody else got to do the same thing. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Heads bowed and eyes closed. A servant forever. We're dying, Brother Angel. We're dying. We talked about it this afternoon. We're dying. There's enough hardware in the form of young people in this room to make a difference all over this area. If we would just decide, this is my fight. This is not something I do anymore. It's who I am. And if I never have a friend down here, so be it. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'll tell you this, young person. You never sacrifice anything to the will of God that God does not give you back in great abundance and in great quality. I've never given up anything for Jesus. But oh, how good He's been. Maybe there was somebody that stood up before you one time and said, well, I used to have fun, I used to party, and then I got saved. And now it's no. I used to have a miserable life. I used to sleep off the drunk. I used to be wicked. But now I'm plugged into something that is so unbelievable. God is working in my life. Oh, it's different now, and it's better. God, give us a young man in this room, a young lady who will say, I'm not going to be part of the common lump anymore. This is what I am. Is there some young person here tonight that say, my walk with God's not what it should be? It should be. It's been better. I'm to the point I don't hear Him. I'm to the point it's just quiet. I may pray or read the Bible, but it's just an exercise in character, and I want that relationship back again. So a young person, just raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I want it back. I want to get close to God again. Somewhere in the room, just raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. God bless you. Hands all over the room. I want it back. I'm not a robot. God did not intend for you to be a robot. God wants to work in your life. God, the maker of emotion, Jesus who wept, wants you to have a Christianity that impacts you on every level. Is there a young person that said, Pastor Reed, here's my hand. I want to fall in love with my church. I want my church to be my heartbeat. Listen, Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. Can we do any less? Is there a young person who said, God, I want God to burden me and burn in my heart about my church. I want my church to be in the forefront. I want to serve Jesus as I serve in my church.
So some young person said, I need to move the priority of the church to its right place. It's something that I've dreaded, or maybe something I've done because I'm supposed to, but I want my church to be my heartbeat. Listen, I don't want you to raise your hand just because a person next to you did. But if it's beating in your heart, listen, the only way this thing's going to survive is if a bunch of young people say, this is my church. It has my heart. It'll have my life. There's a young person said, I want my heart to be in my church. Here's my hand, Brother Reed. Pray with me about that. Oh, thank you. Hands all over the room. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Musicians are going to play. I'm going to pray. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come to an altar and do business? Well, I'll wait and do that tomorrow night or do it. Don't wait if the Spirit of God is dealing with you. Go ahead and start on the first night getting some stuff right with God. Dear Jesus in heaven, we ask that you work in this congregation right now. There are young people all over this room that by uplifted hands said there's something that needs to change. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be just another trip to an altar. But God, I pray some young person would come and do business with you tonight. Pour out his or her heart and say, God, I want to be different when I get up. I'm going to change whatever I have to change. But I'm in this thing. You've got all of me. Spirit of God, work in this invitation. We pray now in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Musicians, play. Why don't you come as God has touched you.